Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpataru bhyasya krapa sindhu bhyavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So can I begin now?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, just sorry for the interruption. We are very, very fortunate to be hearing from His Grace Swami Krishi Prabhu. Swami Krishi Prabhu is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada and he is an initiating guru in ISKCON. He has lots of years of glorious devotional services. He was a temple president of Tobacco, ISKCON temple, for the last 20 years. And Prabhuji is a doctor by profession, so he has rendered medical services to so many devotees. He also donated to the deities of ISKCON Philadelphia. Prabhuji has a project called Little Temples, where he has 3,000 ready-made made units that can be used as an altar, and there are space to keep the books also, to give it off to villages where we can have a Namahata hall. So Prabhuji is very, very compassionate to be giving us his valuable association. Please accept our humble obeisances, Prabhuji, and welcome to the call, and thank you so much for your association, and please take over.
So my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas present on this Japa Conference call. So, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Dishtarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 2, Text number 9 onward. So this text number 9, this is about the creation of the Daksha. He is cursing Lord Shiva. So that is the topic. Shriyatam Brahmarshayo Me Sahadeva Sahag Nayah Sadhunam Bruvato Vrattam Na Gyanan Nacha Matsarat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All sages, brahmanas and fire gods present, please hear me with attention, for I speak about the manners of gentle persons. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy. Purport. In speaking against Lord Shiva, Daksha tried to pacify the assembly by presenting in a very tactful way that he was going to speak about the manners of gentle persons, although naturally this might affect some unmannerly upstarts, and the assembly might be unhappy because they did not want even unmannerly persons to be offended. In other words, he was in complete knowledge that he was speaking against Lord Shiva in spite of Shiva's spotless character. As far as envy is concerned, from the very beginning, he was envious of Lord Shiva. Therefore, he could not distinguish his own particular envy. Although he spoke like a man in ignorance, he wanted to cover his statement by saying that he was not speaking for impudent and envious reasons. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Nama Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krapa Sindhubhyo Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. So just a little background about this topic, that Vidur is inquiring about the dissension between Daksha and Shiva, why they are fighting, why each other cursing, why Sati has to kill herself. So how could Daksha neglect Sati and hate Lord Shiva? So Prajapati Daksha is Duhitra Vatsala, an affectionate father of Sati. So he is the father-in-law of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, and he is saying, Silavatam Shrestha, best among the gentle. Charachara Guru is spiritual master of the whole world. He is Nivratair, not envious. Sant Vigraha, always peaceful. Atmaram, self-satisfied. And he is Jagato Devatam Mahat, greatest of the demigods. But bitterly quarrel. So Vidur is asking from Maitreya Muni, why there was a bitterly quarrel? Please tell us how such a son-in-law with all this qualification and father-in-law could quarrel so bitterly that Sati had to give up her life. Now, so Maitreya Muni is replying to these questions that sacrifice was there by the leaders. So many universal leaders, they performed a great sacrifice in which all the great sages, philosophers, demigods, fire gods, they assembled. And then the Daksha enters. So Daksha, when he enters, he was shining like a sun, and the entire assembly was illuminated by the brilliance coming from Daksha, who is the son of Brahma. So Daksha was welcomed everybody, and in welcoming, at least you have to welcome them by standing out of your seat, speaking few sweet words, glorifying, and so forth, giving a place, sit, when he sits, then others they sit. So in this way, so everyone in their great assembly, except Brahma and Shiva, because Shiva is also an elder brother of Daksha, he is also the son of Brahma in one way. So they all stood up, and becoming welcome, and being welcomed by the leaders, Daksha offered respect to Brahma, because Brahma is the father, so he did respect. So Daksha became angry on the Shiva. Daksha, however, became very angry to see Lord Shiva sitting and not showing him any respect. While gazing with eyes as if to burn Shiva, he began to speak with harsh words. And now this ninth verse comes in existence, that now that he, Daksha, is somehow speaking, he's gazing to Lord Shiva like he will burn, because he was envious. His beautiful daughter was married on the recommendation of Lord Brahma to Lord Shiva. So Sati was married. Sati was very happy because she is the eternal consort of Lord Shiva. But Daksha, seeing him, his features, outwardly renouncing, putting some ashes on the body, living with no house, living underneath the tree, with no proper clothing, having mundamal, and having this, means so many ways he had no earning. So he was really despondent. He was angry in that respect. And now he thought that Shiva is my son, like son-in-law, like a son, and son should respect the father. But he did not know the exalted qualities, that not only he is his son-in-law, but he is the elder brother, but he is also Ashutosh and so many good qualities. And he was beyond any reproach. He was just next to Lord Krishna. So there was no need for Lord Shiva to stand up and respect. Rather, Daksha should have paid obeisances to Lord Shiva. But he did not do so. But he became again very envious, thinking of the marriage and Sati. And so he thought that Sati is now married to a pauper man, and she is not enjoying the world and worldly affairs. She is a king's daughter. I'm ruling over the, he's a Manu. Like in one way, Daksha Prajapati. So how it is possible that I give my daughter? It was mistake. It was Brahma's just said. He did not say rightly or correctly. I should have given her to someone more qualified than Shiva. And now when he did not stand up, his anger become more and more like burning like a fire, a big fire. So, and now he starts the blaspheming the Lord Shiva. I am not, and when he is trying to cover up, it's in a sarcastic way he is saying, in a way that as if he knows he is not envious, he is not it's the duty. So he is not like doing out of reproach or out of punishment. He is just saying just our normal morality, like as if he is moral and Lord Shiva is immoral. So we will talk about some morality, immorality in different ways, but Daksha is blaspheming Lord Shiva. I am not ignorant or envious. Oh Brahmarshis, he is telling to all the demigods and Brahmarshis and Rishis and higher gods, please hear me with attention about the conduct of sadhus. So it is the conduct of sadhus he is talking. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy. Nagyanan nacha matsarat. Matsarat means envy. Nagyanat means out of ignorance, without any gyan. In the so commentaries we see the positive interpretation. Really he gave the blaspheming words to Lord Shiva, and that is in next several verses from 9 to verse 17, that he is being his worshipping and his beta thoda baad mein kar lena abhi. So many words, like we talked last time, last Wednesday we talked that he is blaspheming the Lord Shiva, but indirectly he is praising also Lord Shiva. So we talked last time, so I would not go on that but it was all nonsense. It was the mistake on side of the this Daksha Prajapati, that he is to such an elevated Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, he is telling these envious words, he is telling Nirapatrapa, like he is shameless, he is proud, he is Yashogna, he destroyed the fame of the Lokpalas, polluted the path of gentle manners. He is saying that he is pretending to be an honest person, sadhu, but he has accepted my daughter, but he himself is subordinate to me. And his murkat lochan, his eyes are like a monkey, and I have married my beautiful fawn like daughter to him, and still I give him so much my beautiful daughter to him, so he should respect me. She was respect means hungry, not thinking himself to Trinadapi Sunichan is far away from that verse. So he says that he is lupta kriya, he does not perform any ritual. Yagyas is asuja, asuchaye. Asucha means he is impure, he is manine, means he is proud, he wants respect. And bhinna setatve, violates, he is violating the codes of conduct. And sudrayeva, he is like a shudra, though not desiring, I give my daughter to this unqualified man, like teaching Vedas to a shudra, so he is like a shudra. And Unmattavat, he is like a madman, sometimes laughs and sometimes tries, but that happens one who is a pure devotee of the Lord, he also becomes like a madman. He laughs and cries. And Chita Bhashma Krata Snana, he smears crematorium ashes, ornaments with a garland of his skulls and bones. And Ashiva, he is Shiva, but he is Ashiva. Matta, he is madman, inauspicious. Shiva Apadesha, Shiva in name only. Matta Jana Priyaha Patita, dear of crazy people, crazy beings who are in Tamogun and is their leader. His Nasta Saucha, he is unclean. Unmada Nath, Lord of the Ghost. And Durhrade, has impure heart. In this way, Daksha angrily is cursing Lord Shiva, he is telling ill about Lord Shiva, he is addressing him in many, many bad ways. And just like Shishupal is giving so many, like cursing Lord Shiva at when there was a sacrifice by Yudhishthir Maharaj in that arena, he blasphemed because he was worshipped, the first to be worshipped by to the Lord Krishna. But so Shishupal started telling so many words, and same thing that he taught, and at the end Krishna showed his Sudarshan, throwed his Sudarshan chakra, and he was killed on the spot. So, but Saraswati, although he was telling, blaspheming the Lord Krishna, Shishupal, but Saraswati could not say that. How she could come and say such words? So from the mouth, the words may be occurring wrong, but it is also interpreted in a different way by different sages. So I would not go in detail like that. So thus, Daksha, he left the assembly in spite of opposition of assembly leaders. Daksha, in great anger, cursed Lord Shiva. Cursing means telling bad words. And so he did this and he leaves. So we will talk about little bit about morality and sadachar. Sadachar, achar means activity or for etiquettes. that has been, so that is culture, that is also achar, or how one should live, so, and how it has related to bhakti. So, sadachar, savai punsham, so, the jiva's param dharma is to savai punsham paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaji. Means our param dharma is that by which bhakti to adokshaj, adokshaj is Krishna, so that adokshaj bhakti starts, begins, or bhaktir adokshaji. So we are engaging in bhakti to adokshaj. So it is in helping, this sadachar just helps our bhakti, not in independent way. Sadachar is not that independent. Without pleasing Krishna, then there is, and you may be very, very nice, very, very like etiquette, you follow everything, but if there is no bhakti to Krishna, then it's all useless. So tat karma hari tosham yat, that activity should be done to please Krishna. If Hari is not pleased, then sonisthishtasya dharmasya sansiddhim hari toshanam. So our life's one goal should be to please Krishna. If He is pleased, then we would never fall and nothing abnormal would happen by you. Even if so, dhavan nirmilya va netrena sthalena patetid iha. Dhavan, if we walk by closing your eyes, but if you are Krishna's devotee, and then if you are closed or open, but you cannot fall down. Falling from your path, falling from your real purpose of human life. The real purpose of human life is to really please Krishna, to serve Krishna. And Krishna needs that. Means it is, if we desire, one may say that all the activity is done by Prakriti. Somebody may be in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, and Prakriti means making us dance here and there like a puppet. Prakatehe kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimuratma kartaham iti manyate. So it is Prakriti is doing, I am not doing. No, but desiring is done by you. Sankalp is done by you. So if it is your desiring, feeling, willing, that is your thought to do, then Krishna fulfills your desire. Krishna is from time immemorial, He is fulfilling our desires. Man proposes, God disposes. So God is disposing, but it is our thoughts. So and the activity may be done by Prakriti or Krishna is helping in doing that, but the desire is from us. So we are Krishna or Nitya Das, but are we doing Nitya Seva of Krishna? Our Jivera Swarup is Krishna or Nitya Das, that is our Swarup. But now we forgot, rather than serving Krishna, we are serving Maya. But why then we are saying that we are, so it has been said that we are Krishna Nitya Das. Why the Nitya Das? That word has been given. Nitya is because we are sitting in the same place, close, just like we are sitting in the heart. Hradeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, so God, see, Paramatma is there, the expansion of Krishna, and we are there as Jiva soul. So both are sitting there. And that's why one is the master, one is the servant. So in that way, but we are not serving, like wife and husband, son and the father. So son's duty is to serve the father. Wife's duty is to serve the husband, and husband's duty is to make wife happy. In different ways, by giving clothing, by giving protection, by giving food, house, nice ornaments, nice saris, a child. So all this is husband's duty. But one may not be doing it. So we are also not, although we are Nitya Das, but eternally we are not serving. It is, like you may say, eternal, so it is no beginning, anadi. So we are Nitya Das, anadi from beginning less, but it is not anant. It will end if we take the follow the. So we are being hunted by a ghost at this time, and that's why we are serving Maya. But when we are woke up by a sadhu vaidya, if there is a sadhu in form of a vaidya who could give him the instruction, and then naturally he would come to his senses, just like a Rajkumar is hunted by a ghost. And then he does not behave properly. He does so much destruction. He even hits his father and does not behave properly like a son. But somehow, some vaidya cures him. Then he comes in his senses and acts according to whatever the father wants. He serves. He serves the people of the nation or his kingdom. And so everything is finished, is come in a normal way. So now we are serving Maya. And so like the ghost has come on us. And she is making us dance. but we should have Krishna. Please make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. Not we dance by Maya. So right now we are dancing by Maya, but if we get in touch with a wonderful Vaishnava and by his instruction we come to our senses and take to Krishna consciousness fully, then our all the suffering will end and we will come to our normal consciousness. So we have a minute, it is because of our misuse of the minute independence that we are bound up in the material world. We could choose Krishna or we could choose Maya. So if we don't choose Krishna, then we will have to choose Maya. There is no ins and buts are that I can be do or I can do both. No, either are, not both. Just like a cow is being tied to a pole and has a 20 feet rope, she could only move to 20 feet. She cannot go beyond that. So our independence is very, very minute, just in choosing, and then otherwise the Prakriti will act or Krishna will act. So we want to serve Krishna, and that way, because we are eternally Ansh and Anshi, but we are not engaged now. If we are engaged in Maya service, we are not engaged, although we may say Nitya Das, but Nitya means we are just together. That's why there is a, we are Nitya, that is by in our Swaroop it is that, but we have forgotten that and we are serving the ghost by name Maya. So it is our duty to get in touch with an agent of Krishna who is a pure devotee of the Lord and could wake us up from our sleeping in the lap of Maya, in the slumber. Jiva jago, Gaura Chan bole. So we have been, how long will we sleep in the lap of Maya? So the Gaura Chan is waking us up to wake us up. So about Sadachar. So Sadachar does not have an independent, that yes, it is independent of Krishna. Bhakti, and bhakti person who is a devotee, then all the qualification will automatically come. Yashasti bhakti bhagavata kanchina sarvair gunair tatra samasate suraha. Harava abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena davato sabahi. That abhakta is walking on his mind, mental. He does not follow any rules, regulation, does not have a spiritual master, does not take shelter of him. Naturally, he cannot come to his senses. He needs a proper guru. Just like in the material world, we need a guru to guide us in the material activity. Same thing we need in the spiritual path, we need a proper guru. So karma, but one may say that should we just give up our activity or karma, means our all the senses are meant to serve Krishna. And Krishna is, he is in need of our love. Because he became from one to many, eko vai bhavsham, because he needed the love. And we are supposed to love him, he is so much sweet. And we are supposed to love means seva, that is our job. By our all the, hrishikesha hrishikena sevanam bhaktir uttama, or uchyate, that by our senses, we should serve the master of the senses. Hrishikesha Hrishikena or Hrishikena Hrishikesha. Hrishikesha means master of the senses. And how we should serve him? By our senses. There is Jnanendriya, Karmendriya, the mind, intelligence, by using our all the faculty for service of Krishna. And that would be our proper activity. And by now, with all these senses, we are serving Maya. And that will pull us down to the hell. And we will suffer like anything. She will allure us. Come. So she is testing us that are we really using our brain or using our whatever information that Krishna is giving. Because Krishna comes as Sadhu Vaidya himself also. He came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came as Srila Prabhupada and all the parampara. He comes as Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. He comes as Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many sadhus. He comes as Dham. He comes as the Diti form of the Lord. And Diti paraphernalia, the sadhus are his expansion. So these are all things are there, but if we don't, he still come to our senses thinking that, oh, when Krishna wants, he will bring. Oh, Krishna wants all the time. Why he would want that my children should just depart from me? It is us that who should think how I could go back to Krishna. So that is really up to us, but still we have to do, until the body is there, to keep body and soul together, we have to do, but it all should be like join with Krishna's service. Any activity you do, you produce your children, you have job, you study, but it should be all for Krishna's service. every activity, it should be sansiddhim haritoshanam. Sansiddhi means our sansiddhi is to please Krishna. Yes, you study, get PhD and preach Krishna consciousness. Job and then serve Krishna. Build a nice temple for Krishna. Go to people like Krishna wants that his children should preach his glories. That Jive Daya means to... So they don't have to take birth again, suffer again and again. This roti, kapda, makan, temporary may be all right, but it should be really that they don't have to take birth again. One should not become a guru, mother, father, teacher, or leader unless he could liberate their dependents from taking repeated birth and death. Otherwise they will suffer more and more, so many species of life and horrible species and horrible suffering. One cannot even imagine how much suffering is there. So... But we should do the activity, not that, oh, now karma fall, I don't want a karma fall, so let me become detached, virakti. But until you have to work, until you have become attracted, tavat karmani kurvita, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20, that you continue doing your karma, whatever working you are doing, you continue, but dedicate that for Krishna. So tavat karmani kurvita, na nirvidyate yavata. Nirvidyate means detachment. Tap, until when? Mat katha shravanado va shraddha yavana jayate. That until you have shraddha, faith, and you have full attachment, like on katha, Krishna's katha, and unless you become so much attached to katha, hearing all the time about Krishna, Krishna's glory, Krishna's activity, until then you should not take sannyas, should not go like just pretending that now I will detach myself or sit in one place. No, you go out of and try to preach, try to serve, try to take care in so many different ways. So, agya eva gunan doshan maya distan api svakan dharman santijyaya sarvan mam bhajeta so sattama. One who does not have this kind of shraddha, then karma tyag is not desirous, it should not be done. At least they should do the Ved-Ved karma. According to the Vedas, means the best thing is directly serving Krishna. But Vedas are doing karma kand, you should not disturb from their karma kand or from their activity unless they have a test. So by hearing again and again to Krishna Katha, they will develop test and they will be able to engage 100% in Krishna service. But until then, they could have their family, they could have their children. But Prabhupada showed us a even more important job, that you do it, whatever you do, yat karoshi, yadashnasi, yajyohosi, dadasyat, yat tapasasi konteya, tat kurusho madarpanam. That yes, you do whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever you are doing, you do it. Means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want that some devotees should follow him, like this Vasudev, who was a leper, and there was a Vipra Brahman who was reading upside down, and they all wanted to go with Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, no, you stay. You stay wherever you are and just put Krishna in the center of your all the activity. So that is also we could do. But Krishna has to be, so that is real Sadachar. And Lord Shiva is always in Krishna's meditation, serving Krishna in every way, preaching, going out, going to Prachetas, giving all Shiva Gita. So that is the way that one should act, rather than just detach or take sannyas, karma sannyas. Even Bhagavad Gita also, it says you should not take karma sannyas or sannyas by itself unless you become a pure devotee. And devotee also, then your other work starts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his all the disciples that you go and do sarvata praman dive puran vachan, that you give and then write so many shastra. He also gave them instruction to do the work, although they were sannyasis. Pada shloka sadhyara nirnaya, that you read the shloka, means example, and then you do what is your sadhya. Sadhya sadhan. Sadhya means what is to be obtained, and sadhan the process. So he talked with Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, but you give according to the shastra. So we should follow the shastra. Without shastra, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrikim Vidhim Vina Ekantakir Harer Bhaktir Utpatayeva Kalpate. That if you do your bhakti, that I am doing engaged in bhakti, why I should follow shastra? But it may be utpat. यह शास्त्र विधिम उत्सज्य वर्तते कामकारक न संसिद्धिम अवाप्नोति न सुखम न पराम गति. सो यू शुड नो व्हाट शास्त्र इज सेइंग. साधु शास्त्र गुरु दिस ट्रिनिटी शुड ऑलवेज बी देयर. एंड इवन विद अगेंस्ट द शास्त्र इफ गुरु इज सेइंग समथिंग एल्स वन दैट इज नॉट रियली दैट वन शुड फॉलो. इट शुड बी अकॉर्डिंग टू द शास्त्र. इट शुड नॉट बी शास्त्र विरुद्ध. एनीथिंग शास्त्र विरुद्ध शुड नॉट बी. And we should act according to devotee, not Krishna vat. Like Bhakta vat acharan, we should work according for a devotee, and that you should learn from Sadhu Shastri and Guru. Even if the Siddha Bhaktas are there, so an ordinary devotee should not follow in the footsteps of Siddha Bhaktas, because they may do anything. Like they may be Babaji, Babaji Vesh, they may be completely liberated, or some Babajis may, but we should not follow in that. We are not into that level. Although Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam, but he did activity in many places that is all Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Bhagavata is there. And we will, so for Lord Shiva has none of this thing. He is directly a devotee of the Lord on topmost. So, but anyway, there are two important things about this. Sadachar has been said, Asat Sangha Tyage Vaishnava Achar. You should Asat Sangha, give it up. And what is Asat? Istri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta. If one Asadhu and Krishna Bhakta, then you, so one should give up the association of woman, means being attached to the woman, or one who is attached to the woman, you should not even be with them. And then Yesab Chadi are Varnasham, and then give away Varnasham Dharma also. Because by Varnasham, if it is not a Devi Varnasham, if you are Kshatriya, you are just fighting, or you are administering, and you are doing, but Krishna has to be the center of all your activity. So, Yesar Chadiyar, Varnasham Dharma, so give away Varnasham Dharma. Akinchana Hayala, Krishna Kasaran. You should be like Akinchana. Akinchana is without any thinking, any pride at all, that I am very lowly feeling. So, Haya Kare, Krishna Kasaran. So, Shishnodar Parayan Krishna Nahi Pai. Krishna Bhakti Bina Anya Kamna, that is Atma Vanchana, means destroying. So, Krishna Bhakta are whatever. And Varnasham Dharma, you may say, why one should do Chari Varnasham Yadi Krishna Nahi Bhaje? If all four Varnas, if they don't worship Krishna, Swadharma Kariyavase Rauro Na Padi Bhaje, that they will give to the Rauro Narak. So we should take shelter of Krishna and his devotees. Sharan laya kare Krishna atma samarpan, Krishna tare kare tatkala atma sam. So anyway, abhiman, we should not be very proud. Pranadapi sunichena taro iva saishnona amanena manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Eise vaishno dharma sabhare pranati sei dharma doji jar ithe nahi rati. We should be tolerant, and so all these things you know, and Lord Shiva is so much tolerant, how one can blaspheme. So about some Vaishnava Achar, I will tell you a little bit about, and then we can talk about Shiva. So how people are like sometimes deride Lord Ram to kill Vali. So Valmiki Ramayana stirs hearts, evoking deep compassion as it is founded on Karuna Ras. So it is an interplay of love and duty. Giving rise to conflict leading to long and painful separation. So Mahabharata deals with a familial clash for power, distinguishes between good and evil, dharma, adharma. The dharmic Pandavas contemplate before fighting their evil relatives, although the latter are in the wrong, like Duryodhan. Duryodhan's party, there is no guilt in killing the innocent and virtuous Pandavas. The clash happens only within good. Should we redeem our power at the cost of our relatives, the evil Kurus? So that was the question. Initially, Arjuna was thinking like that, that should we take the power and at the cost of our relative and the Kurus, who are our relatives? But then Krishna ultimately tells that you should follow your dharma. Your dharma is to protect. You are the kings. Yudhishthira Maharaj is the king. So he should kill the Atatai. And they should not feel. So same way the Ramayana, there is a conflict between the two parties, decision maker as well as the king. So Dasharatha, who ordered 14 years of exile for Sri Ram, just to honor his vow, was himself fraught with unbearable pain to see his son depart. On the other hand, the duty-bound Sri Ram, who was also equally affected, he knew that how much grief his father would be, and he will cause his family and subjects alike. But nonetheless, to follow his duty, he left for 14 years in exile. So Sugriva and his brother Vali. So Sugriva, who seeked justice, not power, he was left with no choice but to attack Vali for abducting his wife. Tarava. So Vali's condemnable action catalyzed the clash. So, and you know all about Vali, that one time Vali and Dunduvi, then these two, there was a fight, and Vali wanted to kill this Rakshas. So he went inside a cave, and inside the cave they fought for a long time. So Sugriva was sitting, guarding, but he did not come. And then he saw the blood coming out through that cave. So he thought that maybe my brother was killed, and now that demon would come out and would kill us and would create a lot of problem, kill so many other prajas. So he put a big boulder, but by his prowess he removed the boulder. And then he saw that his brother is sitting in his throne, and he became very, very furious. So same thing like between the Tara and Mandodari and wives of Vali and Ravan, and so many testimony, it gives that how much that, so affection clashes with truth. The former being harder, the affection is harder centric, and the truth is soul centric. So we should follow the soul, or the heart is heart-centric and soul-centric. So Tara and Manodari honored their relationship without turning a blind eye on the wealth of dharma. So they were following the dharma also. Vali was killed unfairly? That is the question. That Lord Ram was hiding and on the side and without coming in front to combat with Bali. But Bali had a boon that whoever fights with him, his half of the energy would come. So there is a discussion that Lord Ram, like many things, topics may come, how Draupadi marries 5 husbands, how, so these are rarity, and there is so much history behind. And without really knowing why Lord Ram banished Sita Devi, just what was her fault, the Agni Pariksha was done. So many people not knowing the whole history are not knowing that what circumstances brought to that, then they unnecessarily blaspheme even the Supreme Lord. Like Krishna had the dresses of the gopis he stole, or he had a dance at midnight. But who are the gopis? Who is Krishna? Unless we know all these things, people, they talk nonsense about the personality of Godhead and go to hell. So the question is, was Vali killed unfairly? So Ram was on the lookout for Sita, who had been abducted by Ravan. So he came across Sugriva, who was fleeing for his life from one forest to another in fear of his brother Vali, who was very, very powerful. Sugriva's wife had forcibly been taken away by Vali on the pretext that Sugriva had unfairly ascended the throne of Kishkindha. But he did not unfairly ascend it. While he was away fighting the demon, Mayavi, he was the brother of Dunduvi. Mayavi, Dunduvi was Dunduvi had so much big such a giant Rakshasa, that his bones made like a Himalayan parvat, so big hips of bone. And Lord Ram, just by one bow, he just throwed it thousands of miles away, just to show Sugriva that he has a power and he will be able to kill Bali. And another, but just by one his arrow, he pierced all the 7 tal trees, which were liberated later on by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, because he had unparalleled power, the Bali could remove his brother, and he took his seat and his wife also, and he did not hear to his brother at all. So Sugriva made allegiance with Lord Ram, and promised to help find Mother Sita. And as a token of his friendship, Ram also assured to assist Sugriv by destroying Vali so that he could reunite with his family and be freed from the injustice that was created by Vali. So Ram asked Sugriv to challenge the Vali. So Vali comes, although his wife, Tara, and they all say, don't go, but still he comes. So much to Vali's display, he never expected. So what happened? Sri Ram shot a powerful arrow and he brought Vali down. And Vali never expected this from a just and truthful personality like Sri Ram, and began condemning him for his action, which is not sanctioned by the Shastra, and certainly not befitting someone coming from the great lineage of Raghu. So now let us examine the arguments of Vali and his supporters and present the scriptural perspective. So how this, see, like, this is also the same thing why we are reading this or staying. There are many instances we could talk, but Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam, he is the supreme personality. He would never do anything which is not right or not unjust, but the people are blaspheming. Like people are like, Daksha is blaspheming Lord Shiva, that he is like this. So same thing people they talk, but what is the reality we should know from Shastra and Sadhus, not concocting something by our mind. And that's why many people are falling down because of their concoction. So Vali argumented, you are the son of a Dashrath, such a great king, and I did not come to fight with you. So in spite of that, you shot me while I was fighting Sugriv. So what merits have you acquired from this? Putting faith in your remarkable qualities, I agreed to fight Sugriv. He assured that you would not intervene. Despite being warned by Tara not to do so, I was convinced that you would not engage in such an act, and knowing well that it was not right. But you proved me wrong. I mean, in reality, you are adharmi, just like Daksha is blaspheming that you are adharmi. You are like a well covered with grass, blind well. I did not cause any harm to your people nor to your kingdom, so why did you shoot me? We live on fruits and roots. We are in the forest, so there was no reason for any animosity between us. Kings fight each other for known causes, gold, silver, land, but we have no, so what dispute we have? So why did you attack me? So our skin is not used by the rishis. So it's not that you are sometime for fighting, so or for skin, the rishis, and then the kings, they kill and give the skin to the rishis. So that is also not used. Our bones are not used. Our even hairs are not forbidden. So, and for dharmic people like you, meat eating is completely forbidden. Then for what purpose some people hunt for meat eating? So why did you, like as a hunter, you killed me? So that is the question. Or why did you strike me down? So it's beyond me how the exalted Dashrath could father such a sinful individual as you. If indeed you desired a battle with me, you should have challenged me openly. I would have sent you to the land of Yam, our sun god. By striking me while hiding, you have become a recipient of great sin. So this is Vali is in this way condemning or blaspheming Lord Ramchandra, just like Daksha is blaspheming Lord Shiva. But we have to know what Shiva is and what Lord Ram is. If you had approached me instead of Sugriv for fetching Mother Sita, I would have got her back in a day. I could have easily tamed Ravan, tying a noose. Because Bali, when Ravan came, when he was meditating, then he put him on his underneath his armpit. And he just moved him from, for a long time he was just, Ravan was sitting in the Bali's arm. So much powerful Bali was. That even Ravan was just sitting there and could not do anything in his armpit. So it is befitting that Sugriv ascends the throne of Kishkindha, but you have killed me wickedly. He is a dharmic and I am not, so that is fine, but you should have not shooted me in the way you have shooted. Everyone has to die someday, but I wish to hear from you the reason for striking me like this. So please respond. So now he is looking at Lord Ram, Vali, before his final death just comes. So Vali put this objection, has been perpetually put forth and questions have been raised by many generations of readers of Ramayana. Some even reproach this as a biggest blemish on Sri Ram's character. Everything was idealistic and worshipable about him. Why then did he do such a thing? He could have waged an open war with Vali, like he did against the Ravan. He could have challenged Vali for a duel. The Ram could have become meditator between Sugriv rather than killing. He could become a meditator between Sugriv and Vali rather than striking him to death. Sri Ram could have directly requested Vali, who was more competent than Sugriv and others, for help in catching Ravan. So Ram is responding, and that is what is the dharma that demonstrates what is dharma and what is not dharma. So we'll talk. Just they are parallel, like Lord Shiva was blaspheming by this Daksha, and here Vali is blaspheming Lord Ram. So we will see that. So what Ram is saying, because he is saying very strongly, because he was inflicted with emotions and apparently reasonable. It is not right for you to consider my action slanderously as you are speaking and advising me without having learned under your superiors. So one thing that you should have learned through your superiors, that whether Lord Ram has done something wrong, not directly condemning Lord Ram for this activity. What the Shastra says, what the Sadhu says, rather than going Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprashtena, say, he should have asked his superiors that did Lord Ram did well or not, rather than coming directly. So if something comes like us, then we should approach to a bona fide person. So Sri Ram is making very significant point about process of acquiring knowledge. One may gain sizable information by personal endeavor. However, an individual is only truly considered wise when the knowledge is passed down from a bona fide and competent teacher, who himself is established in realized truths, having acquired and realized them from the superiors, I mean in parampara. Such a teacher is sensitive to dharma. So otherwise, analyzing any part of the scriptural independently will only produce. So he had read the scripture, he told, but that is just interpreting in his own way that Lord Ram was wrong. Just like he is interpreting Daksha in his own way without knowing through Shastra what Lord Shiva's position is. So, analyzing any part of this scripture independently will only produce imperfect understanding. This is one of the biggest damages modern intellectuals are doing, analyzing scriptures independently without the backing of service and Shraddha towards realize the spiritual preceptors. So they are, why I should go to some sadhu guru? I am so knowledgeable. I am so much PhD in this and this. I know so much Sanskrit. I know so much Bhagavatam. And they don't approach and they don't serve and they don't. So they cannot get. This is a realized knowledge. This knowledge is just not bookish knowledge. They have to have a faith in parampara, and they should serve, and we should be submissively, it should be asked. So Sri Ram is continuing, you are representing the king of Ayodhya. So Lord Ram is representing, who is the master of the land and forest. He rewards the worthy and punishes the culprits. So still they are subjects of Ayodhya. So Ayodhya's ruling was too far, and even Kishkindha, and that was also part of that. So they were just monkeys, and monkeys could select anybody as a king. But whole souvenir was with Dashrath and Lord Ram. So he rewards the worthy and punishes the culprits. We are here to execute that work. Vali, you have given precedence to lust alone. Hence, you have caused a great contravention of dharma. You have become the object of anger and of the sense. Why did I strike you down? I will tell you. You have given up Sanatana dharma by enjoying your younger brother's wife by force. While Sugriv is still alive, his wife is like your daughter-in-law. By enjoying her, you have lost your dharma. There was no way to rectify your adharma other than punishing you like this. I am born in a Kshatriya family, and it is said that anyone who indulges in sensuality with one's own daughter, sister, brother's wife is to be killed. This is the only punishment recommended in scripture. King Bharat is engaged in the duty of controlling those who have gone astray. Bharat is his younger brother who was ruling in dharma and indulging in sensuality. Hence, you deserved no other punishment but death. So that was one of the reasons. Then Sri Ram gave another reason, which was his promise to Sugriva of awarding him the kingdom and rescuing his wife from clutches of Vali. how could he not have fulfilled his promise to Sugriv? Of course, it was primarily based on the first premise. Wali was a criminal and Sugriv was the best to rule the kingdom of Kishkindha. Like Lord Ram, Vibhishan surrendered to Lord Ram and he did his tilak even while he did not cross even the ocean. So he did tilak to Vibhishan that you will be, because naturally he knew that Ravan is on wrong side. So, and same thing, Yudhishthira Maharaj killed a whole army of Kurus. Just so Krishna wanted to establish the dharmic king. And then all the kingdom would be other, would be dharmic. But now so many people are abnormal. So unless Kalki avatar comes, these people will remain, or this Krishna consciousness movement would act and would kill the demonic propensity. Otherwise, it is very difficult. So everybody should take part in this Krishna consciousness. Started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in Parampara Shri Prabhupada is spreading that. So the Ram called another reason, that killing animals, whether they were running or hiding, was ordained by Kshatriyas, for Kshatriyas. This may sound cruel, but Kshatriyas were allowed some license to engage in hunting, primarily because in a war situation, those who are not acquainted with killing and bloodshed may not be able to perform the duty of a Kshatriya on the battlefield. So to habituate them with their own dharma, restricted animal killing is allowed, but certainly not as a means of entertainment. Although Kshatriya were allowed violence, it was to exercise moderation. A society needs some discipline. But that act of violence took the shape of cruelty when it came to defending in a war. There was a very delicate balance. Another reason was that cultivable land was mostly in close proximity to the forest and hence prone to wild animals destroying crops. This sometimes created, like there are some tendua and other animals, they come. So now they have to be killed by the kings. They create fear in the hearts of the villagers and so they cannot do their proper duties or cultivation. So the crops would have been destroyed unrestrictedly. So that's why Kshatriyas had to go out and engage in animal killing to keep themselves updated and not remain foreign to the concept of violence. So violence is allowed even in the Shastra. Sri Ram was no exception to this custom. Though kind-hearted, he had to be duty-bound and not take animals. Some more points. How could Ram take any help to rescue Sita from Wali? Does he really need any help? Who himself was guilty of the crime of kidnapping someone's wife. So he kidnapped Sugriva's wife. So how Ram would go and ask him that you rescue my wife? That was not proper. He himself is culprit. Wali was certainly a criminal. If not a demonic as Ravan, and death penalty was obvious for such a crime. Wali offered to rescue Sita during his verbal attack against Sri Ram. If Sri Ram sought Wali's help to release Sita from the clutches of Ravan, that would mean Sri Ram had double standard, vested interest and prejudiced leniency towards some miscreant. Wali was miscreant by accepting his younger brother's wife. Though Wali was nefarious, he was fully aware of Ram's prowess. So if Wali had appeared... Hello? Just one second. Hello? No, Mataji, not possible because I am preparing to go to Vrindavan in India. Can I tell you a little later on? I am giving the class right now, but I will call you. Okay? Okay. I will call you. Okay. I will call you. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I hope my sound is clear and you could hear properly. So I will go further. So there are several reasons. So to habituate them with their varna dharma, restricted animal killing is allowed. Another reason that cultivatable land was mostly in so they were destroying, these animals were destroying so much land. And Lord Ram could not take help of another who is kidnapping another's wife. His wife was kidnapped does not mean that he should get the help of a person who is himself a culprit. who is doing the same activity like Ravan did. So though Vali was nefarious, but he was aware of Lord Ram's prowess, and so if Sri Ram had appeared up front, he might have surrendered to Sri Ram, putting him in a dilemma of rightfully offering Vali shelter instead of killing him. And that would mean offering shelter to someone who was guilty of abducting another's wife. So if he would have come in front, then Vali would have surrendered, because he knew who Ram is and what is his prowess. So he would have surrendered, and Ram would be obliged to give him the shelter. But that would be not really proper. That's why he did not come in front. That was another reason. So this is why the criminal's face is covered during death penalty, to avoid his agonizing and piteous countenance, so that the executor does not get swayed or emotionally affected. So that's why the criminal's, one who is being executed, then his face is covered. That why there is no mercy in the heart of the executor. So Indra had benedicted Vali with a garland, which had the power to seize half the strength of his opponent. Valmiki does mention about this garland, but not its power. But many other literatures connected to Sri Ramayana mention this. So we see that how Ram, although himself the Supreme Lord, was willing to respect the benediction of Indra. He had to, but he respected. Just like Brahma gave so many boons or benediction to Hiranyakashipu, so Lord Narasimha, he observed, he followed all those benedictions, and he still killed. So, see, Ram also expertly minimized unwanted bloodshed by killing only Vali, instead of waging a war against the whole of Kishkindha, which would have greatly pained the inhabitants of Kishkindha. They were happy to see Sugriv enthroned. Therefore, it was important that Sri Ram's prospect to attack on Vali remained confidential. So the conclusion is that it was clearly a dilemma which Sri Ram had to deal with for the sake of establishing Dharma. The point, like Arjun, Yudhishthir Maharaj, also was, so many years he was lamenting that I was the cause of killing so many my dynasty, and how I could be happy. Then they approached to Bhishma, and Bhishma tells him that what he did was right, and then he was only satisfied. See, in this way, there is sometime this dilemma does come. So it was not the habit of Sri Ram, nor any of his loyal followers. Vali was just a wayward and not villainous like Ravan. But still, while dying, he also glorified Sri Ram after hearing his sound reasoning for killing him, and said it was actually a good fortune to have been killed by Sri Ram, and that Sugriv deserved to be the king. Though Vali was punished for his crime, he was also fortunate to be ultimately rewarded by Sri Ram with transcendental wisdom that made him realize Sri Ram's actual position. Same thing, like Shishupal was killed, but that was his great fortune, that Shishupal was killed, or Kansa was killed, or any demon was killed by the personality of Godhead, because they do get liberated. So last time we did talk about Lord Shiva's position, that he is in between Shiram Yathada Divikara Vishesha Yogat. So his position is beyond this Devi Dham, there is a Shiv Dham, and beyond that is Vaikuntha Dham and Krishna Dham, and we all belong to Krishna Dham, although we are the external, means marginal energy of the Lord. But until we go to that eternal place, and we cannot be happy. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk about Daksha and Lord Shiva, how Daksha impatiently, enviously talks about Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva is beyond all these things. He is faultless. Is a real sadhu, and he should not have done abusing or saying this such kind of harsh words to Lord Shiva. Although he did not mind, he did not do, but his Duta or his this Nandi and others, they fought and they cursed and counter cursed to the Brahmana and Brahu on the other side of Daksha, and ultimately Sati had to give up her life. And there was a reason for Sati to give up her life, because long ago Sati became Sita. Sati, when Lord Ram was lamenting and morose and very much shedding his tears for Sita. Hey Sita, Sita, asking even the trees and the waterfalls and mountains and stones, and which nobody has seen like this, that somebody would ask, where is my dear wife Sita? He was so much like as attached, completely in the hand gripped by Sita. But although he was not, and he acted that way to teach us that how much suffering is there if you are handpacked by your wife. Our wife is handpacked by the husband. So it should be just service attitude, each other serve for Krishna consciousness, not showing our higher position. And so Lord Ram showed, and also by killing Vali, and so established the dharma. That was the duty of Lord Ram as a king, to do that, and also killing Ravan, because so many, he also took Sita. That was not his, six kinds of atatai can be killed, and there is no sin, like putting fire on somebody's earning, this wife, or so these are prohibited in Kali Yuga, taking like go yagya and ashwamedh yagya, and having like younger brother taking the position like of the husband, younger brother becomes the husband of the elder brother when the elder brother dies. So these are prohibited in this age. So Hare Krishna, you can unmute and we can discuss further on this topic.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. Can you speak loudly? I think I may have some wax in my ear.
Yes, Mataji, we cannot hear Shyama Gauri.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you friendly, not loudly. But maybe my phone is good in like delivering the class, but may not be good, the speakers may not be good. So you speak, I will hear, okay, I will try.
That's okay, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class and very nice
to hear about Ramayana. Thank you
very much. Thank you,
Mataji.
Anybody else has any question or comments for Prabhuji?
Prabhu, I have two questions. This is Damodaran Das from Bloomington.
Yes, Damodaran Nanda Prabhu. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Prabhu, you mentioned a term called Karma Sannyasi. What is a Karma Sannyasi?
Karma Sannyas. Sannyas means you take all these Vedic rituals you don't want to perform. You have taken Sannyas. So you wander here and there, but don't do, but that is not real renunciation. Renunciation is from the mind. Until you are free from, like you get attachment to hearing katha about Krishna and glorify Krishna, you may take a karma sannyas, but just wandering on the earth, like many sadhus, they don't want to get activity, or they are kicked out by the wife or somebody, or and then they say, I'm taking sannyas, take a danda and don't work. But is that right? They depend parasites on other society, but their mind is polluted. So just karma sannyas is not good. You should take karma sannyas when you have so much longing for Krishna. You want to hear Krishna katha. You are engaged in devotional service. Otherwise, what is the point of karma sannyas? Means renouncing your activity.
Yes, I got it. So what's the difference between this karma sannyas and phalgu sannyas?
Karma sannyas and phalgu. Yeah, it is a kind of phalgu sannyas. This karma sannyas is phalgu sannyas.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
They are dwelling of sense enjoyment, but outwardly they don't want to work. Oh, I have taken sannyas. I don't want to do this. You are telling me to broom the temple. I won't broom the temple room. I have taken sannyas. So what is the point of that?
Okay, I got it. So, Prabhu, my second question is, how and when did you meet Prabhupada?
Oh, how and when? See, I went to U.S. in 71, November. And we heard like through a person who we met on the bus stop. So my wife really met, and my wife was learning some English. She spoke English. So there were many classes at a time. They were respecting all the foreigners, even calling them to come for their Christmas and all the parties. Now this does not happen, but there were not that many foreigners, and they needed for many. So I went, I did my residency and internship there. So some man by name Kiku Mehta, a Gujarati man, he asked that, Benji, there is a temple. And when I came, I was from a Vaishnav family, brought up, my father was always shaved-headed, always reading Ramayana and Bhagavat, and he knew almost 600 verses of Bhagavad Gita. So he never drank a tea or so. We were saved from all these things from very beginning of my life. So anyway, he said that there is, and I went, before coming to America, I went to Jagannath Puri, and he said that there is a temple of Lord Jagannath. So we went with him, we saw the devotees, met, talked with them, invited them to our home. We liked reading Back to Godhead magazine and their activities. So that way we continued going, and then in after almost a year and a half, I heard that Srila Prabhupada is in New York. I heard that they are buying a 14-story building. There was another temple in Henry Street. So we drove on April 1st, 1973. We drove all the way to New York with a big speed, and we attended the class, and Prabhupada asked him to come to his room because not that many Indians were there. So we went to his room, asked him different questions, and since then we met 6-8 times on Rath Yatras, on his room lectures, or before Rath Yatra lectures on the Rath Yatra, New York again to take my son and offering him to his lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. In that way, we met with Prabhupada about almost maybe 8 times, but not as close. Only one thing that I remember, that he was looking at me for almost like Luka Luki or Luka Chipi, the children they play. For a long period, I will look at him and he will look at me for maybe 5-7 minutes, which is a long time. Somebody is staring at someone. But he did so. I hope that was a merciful glance. And so anyway, that's here I am. Yes, Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Nene aunga. So, okay. So, Prabhu, that is the way. Okay. That is how I joined. And then we continued this going since 72 to ISKCON temple. Never left. I started chanting, reading Bhagavad Gita, other books, associating with devotees, trying to serve them whatever way, learning more and more. And so that's a gradual history for almost 47 years.
Right, right. So that was in Philadelphia, Prabhu? You were in Philadelphia always?
Yeah, initially I was in Philadelphia. That's correct.
Okay. So those time I was in pre-medical in school.
Huh?
No, very nice to hear, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Hare
Krishna. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Oh, Gushila
Prabhupada. Dandavat Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much for your wonderful association, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, thank you. So it's a long process, continuous process of associating with devotees, serving them, reading scriptures, doing some practical service to the temples and cities. And so that's how gradually it. It's not that you just go on Sunday and then forget everything. It has to be a constant endeavor by the heart, by the mind, and then one can advance. Okay? So anyone has any questions? So we will end here. Thanks to everyone. It just brings the discussion. Yes?
Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class.
Thank you, Mataji.
And you explained so much from the scriptures, the reasons why different things are happening, the Lord does different things. That's really helpful. So, Prabhuji, one common question that's asked is, when Rama, in the Uttarakhanda, Rama finally, after Lavakusha leads him to Valmiki, and Rama meets Sita, and he asks her to come back, but she goes inside the Bhumi, Earth. So, why, is there any reason for that, Prabhuji, that she ended her pastime.
Sita Devi goes to the Bhumi, not Lord Ram. Lord Ram enters. Hello?
Sorry, Prabhuji. Yeah, it's Sita Devi who goes inside.
Yeah.
And then she is already in separation from the Lord. And when the Lord came to ask her to come back and join him, she ended her pastimes before the Lord. I don't know if I'm right. And after that, Lord Rama continued.
Yeah, you are right. After giving birth and we're narrating Ramayana in the assembly hall of Ayodhya, because that is there, her time was only that much to be with Lord Ram. So that time period was over and she went. That is, the Bhumi is the mother of Sita. Or Sita was born from Bhumi at the plow and all that. So maybe next time I will talk who is Raman, who is Sita, how was her birth. So we'll discuss about all those things. It's a whole big topic.
Yes, Prabhuji. The Vedavati story and...
Right. That is there in Maharaj, what's his name, Bhakti. He wrote a whole Ramayana very nicely in Hindi and so many other languages. Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. That gives a Vedavati's story.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very valuable...
Vedavati. Not Vegavati, but Vedavati. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
Ji, are you in US now?
No, I'm still in India, sitting in my parental home, trying to just associate with devotees and read Bhagavatam. But I'm leaving day to tomorrow to Vrindavan. I will be in Vrindavan 2 days, and then on 1st April, I will be in US. So I will give the class next Wednesday, but from US. Okay?
Yeah. For us, that we are able to come to Dham Vrindavan this year in a Kartik month with our Guru Deva. Please pray for all of us.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much for your wonderful association. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.